Smashville Live here at Tin Roof on Broadway. Let me hear you, Smashville. Brought to you, of course, by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. Here, of course, with me, my name is Braden Gall, Hal Gill, of course. Forward, Victor Arvidsson and defenseman Matthias Ekholm. Boys, how are we?
We're good.
Yeah, we're doing great. How are you?
We're doing great. Smashville, as you can tell, also doing very well. That happens when you don't lose a game in regulation for a month, fellas.
Yeah. First time in my career, so that's pretty awesome.
I was talking to Hal before. I said, did you ever have a stretch where you played like this period of time? And he's like, no way.
Not a chance. It's something special, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just different because it's when you're, like last year, we were 16th seed in the playoffs and we were last in. And then you really had to fight for your wins. Like, you didn't get anything for granted. You couldn't take anything easy. They didn't just come to you. And now when you're on that roll, it's like the game in Buffalo. I didn't think we played at 10% of our capability how we can play. And then we still get, what was it, 4-0?
Yeah.
So it's just like they just pile up pretty much. And you just got to enjoy it, I guess.
Less stress, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's like we're in Buffalo, we kind of cruised, and we still, like you said, we got the win anyway, and that's like what we're on right now.
What is it in the locker room? What is it about this team? Is it just all the parts, all the good players, or is it there's something else? What's going on with the team?
Well, I think we have really good.
If everyone knew it, every GM in the world would try to find it, right?
Well, I think we have really good leaders, and everybody like expects great of each other, so everybody has to bring that every night, and I feel like everybody does. So.
I think our team is great too. Like if you just look at player by player, I think there's not a whole lot of teams that can match what we put up at first line, at second line, third, fourth, and D pairs, and the goalies especially. I think, I mean, Pekka and Drews is probably the best tandem in the leagues. I mean, if you just go through the lineup, I think it's a great lineup. But as Arvi says too, with a great lineup, there comes competition, because there's going to be a couple guys that are sitting every night, and those are easily guys that could. I mean, all those players were pretty much in the Stanley Cup final last year, so it's the competition is a great thing too. But I mean, as Arvi said too, we expect great things out of each other.
I'm sure you guys have been asked this a million times over the last calendar year or so, but you just mentioned being the 16 seed last year. How much of that was a conversation with you guys, and how much of that was a factor in how you guys approach every day this year?
I think just the experience of making it far in the playoffs. I mean, I think Cal can agree on this too. The playoffs is just a matter of getting in. When you're in, everything can happen. Yeah. Everyone's a good team. Everyone's going to battle to 1,000% when you get in the playoffs. It's just that's every hockey player's nature. So you just got to get in, and then anything can happen.
Are you guys looking forward to the playoffs? I know it's still everyone around here is itchy and excited about it. But are you guys starting to look forward? Are you still, you know, you got in. You're officially in the playoffs now. Are you excited about that challenge, or is it just, you know, you're still kind of doing your business right now?
No, for sure you're excited. Like, as soon as we clinched it, and you got excited. And right now we're playing to get better every day and just get those twitches on details and stuff like that in our game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I mean, it's you shouldn't look further than tomorrow, pretty much. But and we still have challenges within the regular season. I mean, we have a title for best team in the league to fight for, and then a conference and a division. So we're still up for challenges. But as Arvi's saying, I mean, it's tough to not look forward to it. I mean, last year was, I would tell you, by far the most fun I've had with hockey in my career, and just the atmosphere and everything that was going on with our city and our team was unbelievable.
Yeah, for those, I can vouch for it. The playoff hockey is by far the best. Right? I mean, it's just the best. No.
I think they agree with you, Hal.
For fans, absolutely. But for players, it's the hardest thing you'll ever go through, the most rewarding thing, but it's also fun, right? Yeah. I mean, that's as much fun as you can have playing hockey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough when you're gonna be if Arvi does something bad in the playoffs, you can't be all over him because you know that there's not one single player that doesn't give your 100% in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
That's just what it is. In the regular season, some can be like, yeah, come on, Arvi, like we got to pick it up here, whatever. But
with this one,
in the playoffs, you know everyone.
You would never question Arvi.
No, I never.
What's
he's one
about?
Of those. He's a good guy to question here because you know he gives it. Arvi
should be out there.
Yeah. But it's an exciting time. It's a fun couple months there, that we had last year.
The nickname's not Arvi Lazy. That's not the nickname. It's Arvi Hustle for a reason.
Yeah.
Guys, you talked about how well you guys are playing, and certainly it's hard to nitpick anything that you guys are doing right now, and obviously that's the coach's job, that's your job. How do you guys, when you're playing great hockey, how do you kind of put that aside and say, all right, how do we get better every single day? You got Toronto tomorrow. You got good teams on the schedule the rest of the way. Is it the coach's job? Is it you sort of self-motivation? Is it motivating each other? How does that all work?
Oh, tough question. I feel like you gotta just find ways to get things working even better. I think like the power play haven't been working like great lately, so like that has to be better. And like in the playoffs, the power play is huge, and penalty kill too. Like, you can change a game with one power play or two power plays in one game. So that's got to be executed great.
Yeah, no, I agree with him. I think it comes to leadership too, not just the coaches and all that. I think even though we can joke around on a practice day like today, but tomorrow morning come pregame skate and then to be coming at 2 hours before the game, it's all business again. And I think that's a mindset. I don't think great teams just push a button or what have you. I think it comes with the mindset that a whole group prepares themselves for every game, and I don't think it's any different if you've clinched or if you're game 3 or game 35. It's something that we do all year, and I think that's something this group has done a great job this year.
Yeah, I think when I always played, every coach had it, but especially Laviolette was so goal-driven. I know the first goal you get, we got to make the playoffs. That's what everyone talks about. Where you're at now, it's home ice, it's win the division, win the conference, win the whole league, all these things come in, but there's also, I feel like you guys are really good at having the little steps, the little things that you play for each day, whether it's let's win one, Fisher's back, David Poyle's a billionth win, whatever he had. But it's always something new. Like today, you had Make-A-Wish come down into the rink. I'm sure you're going to play for that kid.
So, oh, yeah,
is that
100%,
and
yeah.
is it's always something, right?
Yeah.
Right. Am I right?
I think that's a part of our job too. You know, 82 games. How? I mean, did you have one season where you were excellent 82 games?
I was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. that's
no. You're right.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's tough. It's
honest.
But
it's honest.
I mean, with all the back-to-backs we have and all these games, yeah. it's tough to be at your 100% focus every night. So just to find these little things, I think throughout the whole schedule that can make you just a little bit more extra pumped up for the game is huge.
How big is the depth on the team? I know you guys, Arvi dropped to the fourth, in quotes, fourth line and had success there playing with Sissons and Watson, you know, and then you go up and play with Jofa, of course. You guys just seem to balance out so well.
Yeah, for sure. It's huge in the playoffs, too, to have depth in your lineup, and I feel like every, like, Sissons last year, he stepped up in the playoffs, played on the first line with Phil and Pontus. Pontus stepped up, too. He's not here anymore, but, like, you got to have players that can, if you get hurt, like an injury or something, that you have players that can step up and take those positions.
What is that process like on game day when Lavi comes to you guys? Because I know the first game against Chicago last year in the postseason, he set up a line that probably we'd never seen with Zolnarchuk and Watson and Fisher on that line. And what is that process like? We know that Ellis and Yossi are going to play together and you and PK are going to play together. Like, when he's going to change it, does he come to you early in the day and then discuss it with you guys and just say, hey, here's what's going to happen, and then you kind of work it out? How does take the fans through that process?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the whole playoffs and pretty much all last year, I played with PK, and I think that was set for a big part of the year. But then what's the biggest challenge, I think, for coaches and what they look at to change, except injuries, obviously, change line combinations and all that. But it's matchups and then who's what D pair goes against what line and what's working here and there. And with me and PK, we obviously have maybe a little bit more size than Yossi and Ellie does. So I think that's something they're looking at. And I mean, if we're changing, it could be any time throughout the day. There's not a set thing that if no one says anything by lunch, it's all good. We're going to play against that thing. The kick can come. It can happen second period. It can happen 2 hours before the game. It's just one of those things. The coaches see something, and then in the playoffs, you can't second guess yourself. You just got to do it.
No, I think that speaks to the depth that you guys have, where you can roll through different lines on the road. Because I think more than ever, it's all about matchups and getting the lines you want out. I feel like Arvi, your line has handled the big line on the other team so well. I think you have two pairs of D that can match up against the best line. So if you're playing against Winnipeg, right, you guys like that challenge too, both of you, the defensive challenge.
Yeah, for sure. It's you play against the top players on the other team and top players in the league, so it's a great challenge, and you can make people see that you can play against great players, so for sure.
I think that's big, and that's what both of you have done so well. If you can go up plus one, you did your job, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. If you're killing the other team's top line and scoring goals like you guys are, you're doing it all.
Let's take a little break here, guys. Come back. Get to know these guys a little bit. Does that sound okay to you guys, Smashville? Is that all right? Victor Arvidsson, Mattias Ekholm, Hal Gill, Braden Gall. We'll be right back here. This is Smashville live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Tin Roof. Brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits and Wine. We'll be right back.
These guys are popular, huh?
Oh, yes, they are. Welcome back, Smashville live here at Tin Roof. Brought to you, there you go, by Decorating Den, and of course, Red Spirits and Wine. Braden Gall, Hal Gill, Victor Arvidsson, and Mattias Ekholm here, of course. You guys will have an opportunity to ask them questions coming up next segment, so just sit tight. We'll pass the microphone around, and you guys will get to ask them a few things. We obviously know, Mattias, are you going through any life changes at all right now?
Yeah, a couple. No, but my fiance is 8 months and 3 weeks, I think, right now, pregnant, so it's... pretty awesome, yeah. Thank you, guys. It's exciting for sure.
You don't know a boy or a girl, right?
We have no idea.
Just a little ecky. Little baby Viking.
We'll see.
What's the best or worst, I guess, advice you've gotten from a teammate so far?
About the whole pregnancy thing?
That or being a parent, either one.
That's a good question. I mean, we've had two dads this year already, huh? And Irving and Yarncroc. I guess the biggest one they say is sleep. Try to manage the sleep thing. But other than that, I don't think I've had any bad advice, to be honest with you. It's just...
It doesn't help anyway. Advice doesn't help.
Right? They say so, right?
You're on your own.
Yeah. They're trying to ask and say if I'm ready or whatever. And
you're
I
not.
Feel ready, but I don't think you can actually be 100% ready. You just got to take it as it comes, I guess.
No, the best advice I got was just try. Yeah. As long as you just try,
exactly.
That's basically all you can do at that point.
It's not good to not try. That's not good.
Right. So
there's an article that came out today, I think, about your pregame ritual. You have to have Italian food. You have to do that. You have to take a nap. Is that gonna throw a little monkey wrench having the kid around, or is?
Might be.
Are you gonna just, hey, this is my job and I'm out?
No, I don't think so. It'll be probably a little bit
adjusted.
You're
willing to change?
The Italian's not going to change. I'm going to go there for lunch, but nap time may be varying a little bit about whenever this boy or girl is going to have his nap or her nap. So I guess we'll have to take it from there, but... other than that, we have an upstairs. We have a house. So
there you go.
It's just the family. It's the family size bowl of pasta and meat sauce at that point.
Yeah, I think so. Right. We're just gonna try to.
And going through that, you went in pretty good detail about passing out pucks. Morning. I don't know if you guys have watched his pregame ritual, and it's very specific. And it was funny. I didn't think much about it, but other people I talked to say that's the most amazing thing they've ever heard, that you're that detailed. Can you, Arby, do you have anything that you kind of go through?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Come on.
Like, right, so.
Yeah,
so
sure. Like, I do, like, on the ice, I try to, like, do stuff, like, as I usually do them, but, like, I don't, like, skate three laps that way and three laps the other way. Me and Ellie usually chase each other around the circle sometimes. Or
sometimes.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. Always.
All right, so how about you have, Ecky, you have Italian. You have your pasta bolognese. Cucumbers and tomatoes in it?
Yeah, that's only on the road. Otherwise, here we go to Amerigo, okay. So it's not that specific.
And they have the Predator sauce.
They do have it.
Do you have the Predator sauce?
No, I don't actually. I used to have the meat sauce.
That was a good sauce. It was a little heavy for me, I'll be honest. I was getting older though, so maybe I can handle that. So, RV, you have a special meal?
Yeah, Italian too. I used to cook at home, rice and chicken, but now I go to Giovanni's and eat there.
There you go. And so, and is that a fair plug? Are you allowed to do
that? I don't look at me.
No, okay. I didn't say it. And then a nap time. You said, Ecky, you said you were 15 minutes, but it could go up to 2 hours.
Depends on back-to-back, you know, back-to-back. Whatever you need, your rest.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, just the one we had now was Arizona and Colorado.
Yeah.
And Colorado is a tough one to get into because it's almost like 45 minutes at least to the hotel. And then we lost an hour. So we weren't, I think we were at the hotel by 2:45 or something.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, you fall asleep at 3, whatever. And then you get up at 10. So it's not, you get sleep, but it's not overly much. So I usually just go down. We have meeting, eat, and then go up and sleep two more hours and get it in there.
Just stuck in your cave. How about you, Arby? Are you mandatory nap time?
No, I don't nap.
No?
Never.
Do you sleep at all?
So what? Yeah, I do.
Well, it's too busy.
It's funny. My favorite line in the story, and you guys can check it out, of course, online. I think NHL.com. But it's funny. My favorite line in the story, as you are now a published author, of course, is that you focus really hard on going to sleep. And I, as someone who gets up at 4:30 in the morning, who tries to take naps and just cannot do it at all, could you tell us how you focus on going to sleep?
I think it's more now. It's just a habit. I mean, it's just I get really tired in the afternoons, and even on a. That's the really good thing about having a pregnant wife that is also very tired. You get to take naps even on non-game days, which is awesome. So that comes both ways. But now, every day in the around, I'd say 2-3 after we've practiced or we have a game day, I usually get pretty tired. So it comes pretty natural.
It never changes though. I need my nap. I'm retired and it becomes a habit. So, Arby, in your downtime then, when you're not napping, what do you do?
Play video games, watch TV, or, something.
What's your video game of choice nowadays?
Call of Duty I play, and NHL, and FIFA, and stuff like that. So, I mix it up a little bit.
You enjoy soccer as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Did you play growing up?
Yep, I did.
And how about you, Ecky? You played soccer growing up? That's big in Sweden, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the number one sport.
Yeah.
Soccer is by far. And in Europe, it's huge. Like, this summer is going to be awesome with the World Cup and everything. It's, like, it's for sure the number one thing that unites our country is when it's World Cup of soccer. And we're not that great, but we made it to the...
Yeah.
We made it through this year to the final stage. So... it's really awesome to see, like, everyone's dressed up in we have yellow, too, or gold back home. And it's I played when I was younger. I mean, almost every kid does in Sweden. So it's hockey and soccer is the two biggest ones.
Thanks for rubbing it in, guys.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
The Americans have punted.
U.S. didn't represent well in the qualifiers at all. You guys were speaking a little Swedish, obviously, before the show. Just kind of your path to get to where you guys are today. Just take us through kind of how you got it. You said you played soccer growing up. Kind of let everybody into sort of the window on how you got to where you are today and your debut in the NHL and what it's like transitioning countries and all that big stuff.
Yeah, it's been a wild journey. It's been a long journey, first of all. Just played in Sweden, first of all, juniors, and then I played 4 years, I think it was, professional, or 3 years. Got drafted by Nashville, went here on the development camps, RB2 probably, went to the couple of camps, and you get a feeling for when you do really well back home. They wanted me over here. Came over for the first time, I think it was 12-13. Got to play a couple games, went back to Sweden, played the rest of the season there, and then got back the next year, and it was a lockout year, I believe. So I went to Milwaukee, was there the whole year, and then after that I've been up here. So it's first year it was me, Lindbäck, and Hornqvist, who was the only Swedes, and then after that one another came around. First it was Jarni, then Philip, and then Arvi came around too, and it's been a fun ride, but it goes by quick.
Has it been a big help to have I guess you're the veteran. I mean, you're not very old, but I guess you're the veteran at this.
I guess so, yeah.
Is it helped Arvidsson, you guys, as you come in, to have a guy that's, you know, like in a situation like that?
Yeah, for sure. It was a huge help, and they lived just by the hotel that I stayed at when I was up, and ate dinner at their places, and they were great. So got me to practice in the morning and home for practice and stuff like that. So that was really good.
Yeah, you got, so Eki, you were talking about it. I was on the team when you came up, played a couple games. You weren't quite ready then, but you built your game after that so well. You took your time, becoming defensively so sound, and now you're adding offensively. We talked about it a little bit, and there's so many players on the team that have found a role as defensemen, defensive first, and then now the offensive upside. What is it about the Predators and the patience that they have between David Poile and Paul Fenton, the coaching staff? What is it that makes you guys comfortable to grow your game the way you do?
I think you can. You sometimes you just got to realize what kind of team you're trying to crack a lineup in. I mean, when I got here, it was Weber, Suter, Klein, sure. Josi, yeah. You know, and that speaks about what do I need to do. I probably don't need to score goals because we have a lot of offensive defensemen on the team already. So if I can take care of the defensive side of things at first and then get in the lineup and get games under my belt, I'm going to grow as a player, and I think that's what my mindset was, and I think that's what happened. I just trying to make sure I know what to do in the D zone, and just trying to defend as well as I can, and then trying to grow from there. And I think that was my mission with the whole thing, and then I think it worked out pretty well. And as you said, now as of late, I'm trying to chip in as much as I can offensively too. But I think sometimes you just gotta understand what's needed and what they sure. need to have on the roster.
Like my story, I played in Sweden on the late league for 2 years, and I was not getting drafted for 3 or 4 years, and was kind of standing still in my career. And Nashville took a shot at me in the fourth round, and that got my ice up, and I really, really enjoyed it when I got drafted and stuff. So got over here on development camp and just saw all the things and how special it is, and to be in like an NHL locker room and stuff. It was really fun, and I just went over right away to Milwaukee. I knew I was going to play there the first year, and I just dug my head down and tried to impress them as much as possible. And I knew I'd have a disadvantage for not being drafted for my size and stuff. So that was kind of, I wanted to prove to everyone that I could play in NHL. And I got called up my first year, and that was the highlight.
I feel like it's safe to say you feel like you have to prove it every shift, because I think that's what you guys really like about him, is that that's what you really love about him, is that you're just going for it every shift.
Well, I have to. I play against the big defensemen and like Eki and those guys, and they. Like, I gotta really compete to win battles and stuff like that. So, yeah, for sure, I just try to do my hardest every shift.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of stuff still to discuss, folks. Obviously, we'll get to how well the goaltender's playing. You got 10 more games before we get to the playoffs. But would you guys be okay asking them a few questions when we come back?
Yeah!
Is that okay? All right, we'll do that. We'll do that when we come back. Victor Arvidsson, Matthias Ekholm, Hal Gill, Braden Gall. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live here on Tin Roof on Broadway. Brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wild. We'll be right back right here on ESPN Radio. Welcome back to Smashville Live here at Tin Roof on Broadway. ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Decorating Den, Red Spirits, and Wine. Hal Gill, Braden Gall, of course, our guests tonight. Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm. You guys okay with allowing Smashville to ask you guys a few questions?
Yep.
Very gracious of you guys. We appreciate that. We will go to Cliff from Promotions. Cliff with the microphone.
We have Cindy from Clarksville.
Ooh. Hi, guys. Matthias, with you being the team's seemingly newest enforcer and RV with the big target on your back, how do you guys prepare for a game knowing you're going to get out there and get bashed around?
Can you start?
Good. Yeah, good question. I'm an energy guy. I play with energy, and I give and I take out there. And I think, you do as well. So I think this is the matter of the game now. If I'm not on top of my game, I think I'm just not being very energetic, and then I'd end up in some scrums every once in a while, but that's a part of the game. I wouldn't see myself as an enforcer just trying to compete as hard as I can and win every battle, and then sometimes you just got to stick up for yourself.
RV, come on.
Well, I agree. You gotta be mentally ready every time you go out there to get hit and to hit. So like I just try to, like I said before, like just dig my head down and just go where the puck is and just try to battle as hard as I can to win battles.
Sometimes you end up all the way in the back of the net. Sometimes.
Next up, Jasmine from Murfreesboro.
Hey guys, so would you rather be the top of the league like you are this year or the underdog like you were last year going to the playoffs?
Definitely pros and cons with both.
Yeah, for sure. But I feel like Just home ice advantage is so huge. We can see it in the finals and stuff like that. So I feel like being on the top is never a bad thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, I get where your question is coming from, because the stretch we had to get in last year, we had to play really well down the stretch, and I think the last 20 games we played some really good hockey, and then you really feel like you have the energy, you have the game down, but coming into the playoffs, which is a really nice thing too, and then we'll see how we can take advantage of maybe games that aren't mattering as much as they did last year coming down the stretch. But as Arvi said, you always want to be on top of the league. I mean, it's such a hard league to win in, and to be the number one team is pretty awesome.
You'll probably have a better answer at the end of the season, right?
For sure, yeah. It's not that I've been 10 years in this league on top of the league, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
From the Borough, next up we have Zach.
What's up, guys? I'm going to steal this question from Ryan Whitney, but at what point in your life or your career did you know that you could probably make it into the NHL?
You start?
I start? I don't think you know by your first or second or tenth game at all. Not in my case. I felt like I probably could be in this league, but that I wasn't there yet, and it takes a while to, especially as a defenseman, I don't think you can judge someone over your first 20, 30, or even maybe 100 games. I mean, maybe first or second year somewhere in there, I felt like, okay, I can really be in this league and make a difference, but it takes a while for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same there. Like, it takes to get used to it, and it's so fast and so much faster in other leagues and stuff like that. So, like, first year or second year, you really felt like you belong and you can play here. So probably by then.
I was going to add, I think that if you're in your first year and you think you made it, you're probably not going to last all that long, right?
That's true. big time.
You got it, like you said, you keep proving it.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3 years, you get to feel comfortable with doing what you're doing, but you're still going after it.
Yeah, and this game is such, like, it's so small of details that can go against you or with you, and it has nothing to do with you or preparing or whatever. If a puck bounces over your stick and you end up being scored on, and then you just go down that road that game, you can end up dash three, but you actually weren't that bad. But that's just the name of the game, and it's just, that's why you have to be such mentally prepared for every night.
it's what makes this team so good. I mean, the great players want to be great every night, no matter how much they've accomplished in the rearview mirror. It's always about the next moment. Cliff, what you got for us?
Next up, Becky from Gallatin.
Yes, I was wanting to ask, whenever y'all are down, like, behind 2 or 3 points, do y'all get together at the second period or whatever and strategize how y'all going to come back?
Yeah, like, usually we've been not playing good if we're down 2 or 3 goals, but, like, we just try to get together and then try to go out there for the third period or what it is and just play better and just try to work harder than the other team. And you got to try to win periods in the period too.
I think that's been it's a great thing to have, but with this team and this year, I feel like we've been faced with so many different situations that we've ended up handling somehow. I mean, we were down, was it St. Louis at home? We were down three goals with 10 minutes to go, and I feel like everyone just didn't stop believing in each other. And we know all we really need is one goal. And we got that one goal, and then after that, it's just, I feel like this team can turn it on for periods and for games so hard that teams can't handle us and can't play with us. And I don't think it's not like we're getting together and say, like, okay, let's just go. It's just a matter of everyone knows that as soon as we just get that little spark, it's everyone's just going.
Just pass it to number four.
Yeah.
Get number four the puck.
Seriously.
How much has that come from last year, the experience going through not only the playoffs, but leading up to the playoffs? How much do you pull from that experience?
A lot. Yeah. For sure. I mean, with the team, I think it was only, Fisher who's been in the Stanley Cup final out of the 20, 30 guys on the team.
Right,
just to for everyone, I think, to see how close we are and how, if we just play our game and if we just, everyone's just on top of each other and trust each other, we know we're going to be a deadly team and that can make it really far. And I think that's a really good thing to have in the back of your head going into the next year, because you know you just grow a few inches, I'd say, and then you just seem like it doesn't matter situation, whatever they throw at us, we just handle it.
I like here, that. I like that. Grow a couple inches.
Here we have Aaron from Nashville.
Okay, I have kind of a two-part question. And correct me if I say this guy's name wrong, but we just saw a few days ago Derek Forbert, I think you say his name, got his ear sliced with a skate, which is pretty crazy. So the first part of the question is, what is the craziest, weirdest injury you've ever seen? And then the second part of the question is, what are the most common recurring injuries you have to deal with most frequently?
The weirdest. I feel like Kevin's last year was horrible. I really, like, almost
I just ate.
Just felt really, really bad for him by that time. So that was kind of the craziest injury.
Joe is as well in the playoffs. Like,
yeah,
the way
was,
that
yeah.
was, it
that
wasn't
was
even,
because right?
it,
yeah.
it was not even, like, it was just a bump. It wasn't even a hit. It was just, like, he ran, he, like, bumped into a guy, and then he ended up have to, yeah, it was just not. I don't know how that happened at all. It was just a weird kind of injury. It just sucked for him at the time, and it was really bad for our team. But I was never seen that before, to be honest.
In two very different situations. You know, one guy's instantaneous into the boards. The next guy's walking around the locker room and goes, wait a second, I need to get this checked out.
Yeah.
But what about the most common injury for you guys?
Well, groins, hip flexors, stuff like that.
Low back. I probably Halkin. Right,
low back, hips.
Low back and
yeah,
hips.
I think that those are the most common.
And those usually don't hold you out of games. You play with it.
You just gotta
like in this league, you gotta get used to playing with. It's not a lot of games that you play 100% fully healthy. It's just the way it is.
Are you injured or are you hurt?
Eventually, when you guys get older, you get to like 60% and then you're feeling good.
Yeah.
That's when you feel good.
Cliff, what you got for us?
Here we have Drew from Franklin.
Victor, how consistently every game do you keep up your jump screens?
What was that?
Oh, sorry. Victor, every game, how do you time your jump screens so well?
Well, I just try to get by as fast as I can so I don't get hit by the puck. But sometimes I do that too. So, well, it's you just got to trust the shooter too. I trust those who shoot, and I try to just time it as good as I can. And sometimes I get hit, but it's you learn after a while, like to jump by.
It's worked pretty well for you this year.
No one does it better.
It's worked pretty well. Cliff, what you got for us?
Eric from Toronto.
So Pecorino is obviously having a really good year. How much confidence does it give you guys playing with a goalie like that caliber behind you?
That's fair.
Yeah, it's been 5 years of my career with having Pekka behind me, and it's, first of all, it's like having an extra defenseman back there because he's that great of handling the puck with his stick, and he makes passes. You really just have to go to your corner, and you know, either the left or the right defenseman is going to get it on his stick and we can break out. So that's the first part. But the most amazing part about him is that I think he just never quits on anything. It doesn't matter if he's in the corner, he's going to skate back, and it doesn't matter if he's down or if he's standing. He's just the most battle-ready, battle-attitude guy I've ever played with. And I think that's what makes him that great.
Yeah, I agree. Like he notices every game that D does, but like as a winger too, like when he gets a puck on his stick, you know it's gonna get out somehow, and he's gonna put it off the glass or something like that. So, and he can make unbelievable saves at the right time in the game, and he's just unbelievable.
How good is his rebound control? Because I find when I was playing in front of him, pucks would get behind me, and then they just disappear. You just cover up everything. That changes everything for you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's huge. If you have pucks coming straight out again, and you know you have guys going at the net, it's tough to clear those. But it feels like he always puts them down in the corners, and they just stay there, and it's kind of a dead play again, and then they have to start over. And it's got to be frustrating for the opponents, but for us, it's for a D-man, it's awesome. Heaven. It's the best thing.
And you talk about the effort. I think everybody in this room remembers a weird bounce off a stanchion against Chicago last year.
Yep.
And just how the heck he got back to that puck is still beyond comprehension. Like, yep. I have no idea how he did that. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for your questions. We're going to take a little break. You guys get a chance to talk to these guys, and we'll come back, and we'll look ahead to the final 10 games of the season. And, yes, we'll continue to talk about Pecorine because he's been pretty stinking good. Victor Arvidsson, Mattias Ekholm, Hal Gill, Braden Gall. This is Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Tin Roof on Broadway, brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. Welcome back to Smashville Live. How we doing, Tin Roof? This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, of course, brought to you by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. Hal Gill, Mattias Ekholm, Victor Arvidsson, Braden Gall, and we'll get into the last 10 games and sort of what you guys have ahead of you here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about Pekka. However, I would like to give you guys an opportunity to say a few things here. I think we have an Ashlyn. Is that her birthday? Mattias, if you could wish Ashlyn the happy 20th.
Happy birthday. Was it 20? Awesome. Congrats.
And Victor, if you could wish little Sophia...
Happy birthday, Sophia.
Oh, look at you.
How old is Sophia?
Cute.
4 years old?
Four?
She's that many?
4 years old. She knows all the players, and you're her favorite.
So. Oh, awesome.
There you go. All right, well, happy birthday to Ashlyn, and happy birthday to Sophia. So, all right, guys. Pecorino, we just finished up talking a little bit about how he's playing. I know awards aren't the goal. The goal is the cup, and the goal is the championship. But does it factor in ever when you're going through your day, practice, warm-ups, the game, anything where you go, man, we know we've got a guy who's almost a lock at this point to win a personal award like the Vezina Trophy?
I don't know. No, I don't think personally not too much about it. He's just our goalie, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to think of him as anything else. I think it's just really awesome to see the year that he's having at the age he is. We've overthrown him with good words, and he deserves them all. And I would be
even for a Finnish guy.
What's that?
Even for a Finn, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He'd still say nice things.
I know. It's tough, but it's no. He's a great dude, and I hope that he wins the trophy, because I think for all the years and all the good years that he's had in this league, he really deserves it.
Well, and you guys have seen, Arvidsson, you haven't played as long as he has, as Mattias has, obviously, but you guys have seen this city evolve and grow as fans with you guys, as a lot of you guys have grown up on the team. Just kind of take us through that process. You know, how the city, have you seen it change, how the fans have changed, how Smashville has changed through your time here?
Yeah, my first year, I think it was, I don't know if you were, I think you were here, but it was, we missed the playoffs by 10 games to go. Like, at this point, we were just done. And, I mean, the atmosphere at the rink, it was good, but it's nowhere near where it is right now. And it's after that year, we, I mean, we obviously made some changes and what have you, but, we made it to the first round, and I think it's, I mean, all that matters is success, and then you really just have to, if you play really well, I mean, fans are going to come, and the city's going to want to come and see our games. And I think this is just the perfect case of it. I mean, we made the first round 3 years ago, and we made the second round 2 years ago, and then last year we made it all the way, and it's just been growing thing for us. I think the whole city is growing. I think the franchise has grown for sure. I mean, my first couple of years too. I mean, for us to have to trade for a player like Kyle Turris that wants to sign 6 years here, and then the free agency stuff, like, I feel like players want to come here just because how different it is now compared to years ago. So it's just awesome to see, and the whole organization and the fans has just embraced it.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't been there that long, but my first year was Chicago, I think, first round, and just from there, like Eki said, it's been like for every round that we've gone through, it's just been growing and growing, and last year was unbelievable, and the whole city was crazy, so it was awesome.
How much do you guys look for, scoreboard watch, see who else is coming in? Like right now, I think as it's set up, I think you're set to play Anaheim. Are you guys looking at the matchups?
Are you guys familiar with the Ducks?
The Ducks.
Yeah.
How much do you guys watch that?
I look at the standings almost every day and just try to see how it's turning out, but just not think about it too much, but just look and see how it goes.
I wouldn't say right now I look at it too much, just because it's like six teams that could be that are really in like 3 points of each other, so it could be end up being anyone. I just know who those teams are, and I'm just trying to, right now it's more a matter of seeing who's behind us in the standings and just trying to hold on to conference and division and the league. So I just trying to more look at that than more than the playoff picture.
Focused on home ice, right?
Yeah.
It is, you know, the old one game at a time, obviously that's sort of the mantra for every coach and player in every sport, but is there ever a moment where you go, man, we've got Minnesota and Winnipeg, we know there's a tough stretch coming up. Do you take it in chunks? Does Lavi dissect it for you guys at all, or is it literally just the very next day is the only thing that matters?
Yeah, it's just a matter of taking it day by day pretty much. I mean, we're in a great spot right now, and then we just got to make sure that we haven't fought all this year that hard to just not play hard the last 10 games, and I don't think that's ever going to be the case. I just think that right now, take it a game at a time, take it as it comes, and just not try to think too much of the playoffs. Obviously, we both said it's hard to do, but sometimes you got to remind each other that we're still in the regular season, we're still working on our game, we're still trying to get even more prepared for the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Like Eki said, like, we were trying to win our division and we're trying to win the league, and you got to look at that too and just take it game by game.
You're looking ahead. I think this is a big week. You have a couple days off, regroup, Toronto. Then what do we got? Minnesota, Winnipeg, then Minnesota again at home. That's a pretty good stretch right there. Is this kind of the measuring stick right now, where you see where you are, or no? You know, I know Toronto's playing, you know, pretty good team.
Yes,
so you're gonna have
and
your
no,
and
yeah. I would say. I mean, at the same, yeah. I obviously it's gonna say a little bit where we're at for sure. But other than that, we gotta mostly focus on ourselves to be making sure we're ready, and if we end up losing 4-3 but we play great versus Minnesota, it's maybe not as big of a deal as it would have been if we were in a hunt for the playoffs. So I'd say it's a big stretch, it's a big week coming up for us. I think as I said earlier, to not let anything that we worked really hard for get away from us. This is a big week, but yeah, it would have been even bigger if we were in obviously in a spot where we could end up on the wrong side of the playoff picture.
So if you're playing, I hate to speed past Toronto, but you go to Minnesota, maybe a playoff matchup. Do you have an extra cost check for someone? Are you sending a message, or are you not even thinking about that?
A little bit, maybe sure. I mean,
because you have Winnipeg.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Obviously, you want to have you want to have the last word.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, for sure. So it's. I mean, I think every division game is like that. I felt like the last couple of years, every team has been so competitive coming through. I mean, my first years it was Chicago, always on top with St. Louis, I felt like, and now Winnipeg's really, really good, and Minnesota, too, is a really good team, and yeah, I mean, you want to put yourself in a good spot, and you want to make sure that they know that if they come to playoffs in the playoffs, it's going to be a tough matchup for them. I mean, I think that's an obvious for sure.
How about you, Arvi? You have an extra forecheck for him, or?
I don't know. I feel like if last game against Winnipeg was pretty physical, and I think like we kind of felt that all the players too, and kind of for sure it's going to be a little more physical down the stretch, and they're fighting for something, and we're fighting for something. So for sure.
I mean, Arizona's a team that you know you look at the standings and they're eliminated, but they're a team that's played 500 hockey essentially for the last 3 months. They're going to play hard, but is there extra? Obviously, division games mean a lot, but when you get a team like Toronto who's high in the standings or Tampa, you're going to play them later on in the year. You play at Washington at the end of the year. Is it, I don't want to say more fun, but is there just extra energy when you play against teams that you know are at the top of the standings just across the board?
It shouldn't be, but I think it is for sure. I mean, some teams are, you know that you can end up playing them down the stretch, and you just, as I said earlier, you want to put yourself in respect, and you want to know that if they're going to have a chance in the playoffs, that they're going to have to bring a lot of it. And if we have a good feeling against teams winning a lot in the regular season, obviously that's going to help us and then get that extra groove. And I mean, with Toronto, we lost last game against them. So we for sure want to make sure that we come out hard tomorrow.
And that was a big game last year at the end of the year for them as well when they came in here and played well against you guys.
Sure.
So. Guys, really appreciate you coming out and spending some time with these great, wonderful, amazing Smashville fans. Best of luck on the next 10 games, the regular season, and into the postseason. And, of course, Matias, best of luck in the house as well.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Guys, always a pleasure. Victor Arvidsson, Matias Ekholm, Hal Gill. Thank you guys, Smashville, of course, as well, for coming out. Special thanks to Decorating Den as well as Red Spirits and Wine. My name is Braden Gall. Thanks for listening to Smashville Live on Tin Roof. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cheers.